Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. Now, we invite your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we're hoping to have Joyce Riley with us here. And we're going to be talking about, of course, the boys who have fought for America, and how recently there's been an organized effort to cut back on Veterans Administration benefits for the fighting men from the Gulf War and from the other wars, because we have to finance this imperialistic program that is underway. Now, if you really think that the war against Iraq is simply what this is all about, I think you're incredibly naive. The plan, of course, will be Korea, Syria, Iran, perhaps Saudi Arabia. And if you doubt this, you really need to get my syllabus. It's entitled Iraq, the Untold Story. It is available by calling 1-800-544-8927, and you'll read Operation Northwood. You'll read about all the wars of the last century, and then you'll read about the men who planned this war with Iraq going back to 1997, and their plan to have American troops stationed throughout the world, like the cavalry of the old American frontier. Those are their words, not mine. And of course, writing in a year before the September 11th attack, they talked about how we're not going to be able to have this transition to a military that can dominate the world unless there is a catastrophic and catalytic event like another Pearl Harbor. And lo and behold, just 12 months later, there was a catastrophic and catalytic event like another Pearl Harbor. And who were these people? Why, they were Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney. Almost like everything had been orchestrated. On the line with us is Joyce Riley. Hi, Joyce. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Well, we were going to talk a little bit today about the Gulf War veterans from the first Gulf War. The Gulf War, where we left Saddam in power, we allowed him after the war to put his helicopters up to machine gun down and murder tens of thousands of Shiite Muslims and the Kurds in the north who would believe the American president, George Herbert Walker Bush, who told them to rise up and overthrow Saddam Hussein, and we would come and help them. And, you know, they believed the American president, which is one reason why they really weren't ready to rise up and support us when we came in this time, because, of course, the president's father had betrayed them just 10 years before. So, I guess 12 years now. So, well, tell us your thoughts about what's going on.
Well, I think, Dr. Stan, what's going on right now with the first Gulf War veterans is they are absolutely distraught and concerned over the second group of Gulf War veterans, and for a very good reason. Their concern now is they're being exposed right now as we speak to depleted uranium. And I've got to tell you, they are grieving for the new Gulf War veterans because they know what's going to happen to them. The Gulf War veterans from the first Gulf War, at the time that they were over there, were young. They were 20 foot tall, bulletproof, didn't think anything could happen to them. Just like I, when I volunteered, I didn't believe those Gulf War, those Vietnam veterans that, you know, anything really happened over there, because our government wouldn't do that to us, or the military would not treat us that way. And so as a result of that, we went in there not questioning anything. I took 10 shots in one day, didn't have it put in my shot record, didn't ask any questions. I was just like a 17-year-old kid over there. And as a result, of course, we got sick, and then everybody knows the story, depleted uranium, chemicals, biologicals, and vaccines. Well, now, of course, those Gulf War veterans are not just sick. I mean, they are extremely ill.
You're talking about the Gulf War veterans from 12, 13 years ago.
That's correct.
And, of course, many of them, of course, are ill because of the multiple vaccines and the mycoplasma infection. Some of them are sick because of the exposure to toxic chemicals, and some of them are sick because of their exposure to depleted uranium. And I think, you know, the most interesting thing is the story of the sarin gas. And maybe we're going to have to just take a break here. We'll be right back in just a moment. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest today is Joyce Riley. And Joyce Riley is going to be talking to us about the Gulf War illness and, of course, what happened to the Gulf War veterans. You pick up the story from there, Joyce.
Sarin gas, if we're talking about that specifically, is probably one of the most insidious problems that gets worse over a period of time. Because there was, without a doubt, low-level chemical exposure over there. Whether it was low, it doesn't make any difference if it was low or not, because there was repeated low types of exposure. And if there's low someplace, we obviously know it has to be high in some areas, high-intensity exposure. Well, the Department of Defense has known since, of course, the 1940s, at least that I know of the dangers related to organophosphate poisoning or sarin gas exposure. And the manner in which the majority of them were exposed was probably through Scud missiles, through some of the artillery that was used there, and at the Camisea bunker complex.
Could you explain to our listeners what Camisea was?
Camisea was a bunker complex that the Department of Defense knew about since the late 1970s. They knew Camisea existed because it was a storage area. It was an underground bunker storage area for Iraq to utilize. Now, we don't have any knowledge that they had weapons there stored at that point in time, but there was this underground bunker complex. And to give you an idea of how large it was 100 warehouses and 100 bunkers and 40 warehouses, each of them the size of a football field. I mean, we're talking about acres and acres and acres of land that was strictly dedicated to weaponry.
All right, now, was this stored underground?
Yes, it was.
All right, fine. And here is where Saddam Hussein was storing a lot of the chemical weapons he'd actually gotten from the United States, and that's what they never want to talk, of the fact that many of these weapons came from the United States, and so they really couldn't just leave them there. They didn't want Saddam to have access to them. So they came up with a wonderful idea. What we'll do is blow up these explosive warheads. But, you know, would you think they might have suspected if you blow up an explosive warhead, it's going to explode? We'll be back here in just a moment with Joyce Riley. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest today is Joyce Riley, and now, of course, all of our affiliate stations are back with us, and we're talking about, of course, the Gulf War illness, because really we can't really understand so much of what's happened in the intervening years unless we understand that the government, first of all, lied to the soldiers, and they lied to the families, and they said there was absolutely no exposure to poison gas, and then there was a little bit of exposure, and then there were maybe 5,000 soldiers who exposed, maybe there were 10,000 soldiers, maybe there were 50,000 soldiers. The last figures from the Defense Department was there were 130,000 of our Gulf War veterans that were exposed to sarin gas. Now, this is a toxic gas because it has an effect on the brain. Tell us a little bit about what does sarin do?
Well, sarin has an effect on the neurological system, obviously. It causes an area of the brain to be damaged, and unfortunately that area of the brain is the area that controls the emotions and judgment and anger and that kind of thing. And Dr. Robert Haley of Southwestern Medical School has been doing brain spec scans and finding that the Gulf War veterans all have damage in the same area of the brain, at least those that were in Camisea. Now, Camisea you're not hearing about this on the news, but in Nasiriyah is where Camisea is. You've been hearing all about Nasiriyah in the news, right on the Euphrates River. That is exactly where Camisea was. They're not even mentioning that. Now, this is probably one of the most significant stories of the war, and let me tell you why. Because an order was given there to detonate the biologicals and chemicals that were found underground.
This is in 1991.
That's March of 1991. Now, let me go back as to how we found out about this and what we do know about it for sure. The 37th Engineer Battalion was brought in to inventory these weapons, to video them, and determine what was there. When they got there, and in fact, Sergeant Dan Topolsky, who was the NBC NCO, that's Nuclear Biological and Chemical Non-Commissioned Officer in charge of this operation, was underground, saw these bunkers, saw the weapons inside there, and knew immediately with the color codes surrounding them that there were chemicals and biologicals there. Now, Sergeant Topolsky was only one of the NBC NCOs that was there, but however, they all realized there was a problem. Number one, we have the video of them underground, and it's not exactly underground. It's partially below ground when you look at them from the exterior. And so, knowing what was there, I said to Sergeant Topolsky, I said, what did you do when you found out there were biologicals and chemicals underground? Well, as they're taking the video, and you can see them there, they have no gloves on, they have no protective overgarments on, they have no masks on, they're dealing in the area of chemical biological weaponry with no protective equipment, because they didn't have any by this point in the war. So I asked him, what did you do when you knew there were biologicals and chemicals there? He said, since our job was to detonate these, and they weren't just regular munitions there, he said, I told Colonel Holcomb, my boss, who contacted Central Command. He said, Colonel Holcomb called Central Command, General Schwarzkopf, and said, there's biologicals and chemicals underground. I said, what was Colonel Holcomb told? He said he came back to us and told us from Central Command, General Schwarzkopf, the order is to blow it anyway. Now, what I am saying to you right now constitutes the biggest, if you want to call it, friendly fire incident of the entire war. What this constitutes is basically maiming and killing our own military. As you said before, Dr. Stan, 130,000 of these troops, that's minimum, that were in the area of Kamisea. So as a result of that, we have now maimed these 130,000 troops. They received a letter from the DOD. Well, first of all, let me back up. No one ever talked about Kamisea after the war.
And it was totally blocked out, and the Defense Department repeatedly said that our boys were not exposed to chemical weapons.
That's right. Shelley Keshvili and the Secretary of Defense at the time, I even have a memo from them stating there's no evidence, classified or unclassified, to prove that biologicals and chemicals were used in the Gulf War.
Well, of course, they weren't used. We used them by blowing them up. You would think, see, what they're doing is playing word games. They weren't used by the Iraqis. They were kept stored there. But we blew them up, and when we blew them up, we dispersed them all over that area.
Bingo. Oh, here's the official statement from a memo, 25 May of 1994, signed by John Shelley Keshvili, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and William Perry, Secretary of Defense at the time. And again, it's 25 May 1994 when this is signed. And it says, there is no information, classified or unclassified, that indicates that chemical or biological weapons were used in the Persian Gulf.
Well, really, that's true. They weren't used.
Correct. That's exactly right. And it is a word game. So this basically let all the troops think, well, oh, good, nothing happened. Then they get a letter from the DOD, 100,000 of them did, saying, oh, by the way, the bad news is, there is some evidence there were some weapons, some chemical agents. The good news is, it was low level and nobody's sick from it. So everybody kind of was, oh, okay, well, we know they were used or we know they were there, but everybody's going to be okay. So these troops, though, began to get sick, lose their memories, have rashes, joint pains, a lot of neurological conditions that may or may not have been related to Kamisea and to the use of organophosphate poisoning, but they did become ill, and they started having problems with their emotions. Well, this, if we go back to the incident, though, at Kamisea, in which they detonated, they went ahead. When Colonel Holcomb came back and said, blow it anyway, guys, the ones that had their chemical gear went to MOP 4. The others that didn't, which was the majority of them, did not go to MOP 4.
That means, of course, get yourself covered up so that, you won't be contaminated.
That's right, mission-oriented protective posture 4, right, which is the highest level. So as a result of that, we have a picture of the 37th Engineer Battalion standing in front as the detonations are going up in the back. You can actually, Dr. Stan, see them going up one at a time, all the bunkers being exploded. In the front, you've got the 37th Engineer Battalion with this all behind them, and not one of them has anything on but a shirt sleeve. They had T-shirts on, they had shirt sleeves, there was no protection. Now the fallacy, the whole fraud of this is, they admitted they were underground, we've got the videos of it, the men are sick, we've got this brain spec scans showing they've got damage to their brains, and yet you've got the Department of Defense saying, you can't prove anything. So now these vets are being absolutely abandoned, not treated, they're having horrible judgment problems, memory problems.
How many of them are there, Joyce? Do you have any idea?
I'm sorry?
How many of them are there?
I don't know. I think there were probably somewhere around 200,000 that were in the Iraq area, but I can't be sure on that. We know at least, of course, 130, but there may have been more. But what we started seeing after the war was the people that were in that area quite a bit that breathed in all that sarin gas as it exploded or that were exposed to it on their skin now have serious, serious problems. In fact, one individual commander of a unit that I was involved with that I got to know only after he had been arrested and put in jail, I testified at his trial. He was a commander of a Black Hawk helicopter unit. He had had perfect officer ratings all through the military. He was like the picture of a military person. All he wanted to do was to be a pilot of a Black Hawk helicopter. He was the commander of the unit. And before the Gulf War, he had never so much as spit on the sidewalk. And after the Gulf War, he, for some unknown reason, the night before he did this act, and I'll tell you about that in just a second, but the night before, his buddies said that he was flying around the living room and thought he was a helicopter. Now, this guy was not crazy. He had lost his memory, though. He had also become a police officer after the military because he had to leave the military due to the fact that he was losing his memory. Well, obviously, as a police officer, that didn't last long either. But then things started to happen. Now, if you label them a mental problem, then you can sort of like just scoot him over and forget about him. That's what the DOD did. Well, this man, the next day, after thinking he was a helicopter, killed his wife. He was tried. He went to prison. However, at the trial, he called me, only hearing me on a radio program, and saying, please, I need some help. Is there a Gulf War illness? Is there something that happened to us in the Gulf? He knew nothing about this. This was back in the early 1990s. So I flew down there to Fort Bragg to try, or Fort Campbell, to help him out. And I went in with documentation, absolute solid primary source documentation, Dr. Stan, and the judge would not allow anything in that talked about the Gulf War. He was put in prison. He's serving a life sentence now with no parole. Now, I'm not justifying his crime, and he is horrendously sorry that he killed his wife, but that's not the only one like that. There are many, many people like that. And we have got something called Senate Report 103-97, or 103-647, that states in it that these troops are becoming violent. They're becoming violent where they were normal before the Gulf War. Now, that is a statement that was put on the government record in 1993. The government has been on notice since that time that the sarin gas has destroyed, either has affected or created problems in the brains of these guys that were in this area.
That is not the Rockefeller Report, is it?
No, it isn't. No, it's called Persian Gulf Veterans, Are We Treating Them Right? That's right. The name of the title.
Okay.
And, of course, the answer is no, they're not treating them right. But as a result of this, this captain, his name is Captain Marichello, was in the area of Kamacia 37 times with his job. He was flying in and out of there. He was so horribly exposed to sarin gas. And he is an incredible young man who is trying to do everything he can to help other Gulf War veterans in prison now. We just executed our first Gulf War veteran, May, I believe it was 13th of this year, at Terre Haute, Indiana, and he was brain damaged also. The information was not allowed in trial that he had been brain damaged from the Gulf War. He also had been in Kamacia multiple times. I'd hate to bring it up, but so was McVeigh. Tim McVeigh had been in the area of Kamacia multiple times.
All right, we're going to just have to take a quick break here. We'll be back in just a moment or two with Joyce Riley. And after the half hour, we'll be glad to take your calls here at 464-8295 or at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY.
Our 4-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A 2-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this 4-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Do you ever feel sort of run down, that you need more energy? Well, let me tell you about a product. It's called Be Alive Royal Jelly, and I've used this for close to 10 years, and my family has used it. We've been very, very happy with it. And it recently, the company came and offered to sponsor us for a month, so we certainly agreed to that. We think it's a great, great product. It's made from the royal jelly that comes from the beehive. This is what the queen bee eats. It's sold with a money-back guarantee. If at the end of 3 months you're not completely satisfied and you don't have more energy, just give them a call. But if you'd like to get Be Alive Royal Jelly, call 1-866-233-7500. That's 1-866-233-7500. And I'm sure you're going to be very, very satisfied with the product.
Okay, and this is Dr. Stan.
This is Dr.
Stan
here.
There is a product. It's called a Big Berkey. It's a water filter. And, of course, the advantage of it, if you certainly we were in a situation where you didn't have ready access to good water, or if you're in an area where there's a question as to your water, the taste, the bacterial contamination, certain chemicals, why the Big Berkey will take many of these out. Certainly it'll filter out the bacteria and the funguses and Cryptosporidium. And, of course, this is the type of filter that the missionaries have used for many, many years throughout the world. So let me suggest that you consider very seriously getting a Big Berkey water filter. It'll filter about 25 gallons of water a day. Ordinarily, they're $279. They're available from Radio Liberty for $239. And we, of course, if you buy it from us, we'll give you either one of the videos or 4-tape sets that we've actually produced. So that's $239 plus shipping, and we throw in a video or a 4-tape set. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. But the Big Berkey is not available in either California or Iowa. However, there is another Berkey that is available in every state but Iowa, and of course this is known as a Berkey Light. And it's clear plastic instead of being stainless steel. It has the black Berkey filters, which of course are even more effective than the traditional ceramic filters, but they have to be replaced every couple of years. So it's really sort of a toss-up, but the Berkey Light you can get for $199 plus shipping, and of course we make the same offer as far as getting a video or a 4-tape set. If you buy it through us, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask about the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. You can see both products, decide which one you'd like to get, and hopefully you'll give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest today is Joyce Riley, and she's talking about the tragedy of so many of our Gulf War veterans, and there are over 200,000 of the men who went to the Gulf to fight for freedom in 1990-1991. Who are ill today, and we don't know how many have died because the government keeps that information top secret. Because you see, to reveal what's going on, and then of course to provide adequate medical care and payments, disability payments for these people, would be a tremendous expense. So for years they've been saying these are just psychiatric cases, give them a little bit of Valium,
And, of course, many of these people have had their lives ruined. You pick up the story from there, Joyce.
Well, the whole idea behind the Camisea Bunker Complex, of course, was to get rid of evidence that showed that the United States, the UK, France, Germany, had in fact sold the weapons to Iraq. They had been transshipped through Jordan. And this was all done with the full knowledge of the CDC in selling of the biological agents. It was done with the full knowledge of the CDC and the Department of Commerce. Now, let me just give you a list of some of the items that were left after the war and transferred to one of the facilities for destruction. 13,000 155-millimeter artillery shells loaded with mustard gas, 6,200 rockets loaded with nerve agent, 800 nerve agent aerial bombs, 28 Scud warheads loaded with sarin, 75 tons of the nerve agent sarin. So we're not talking here about a small project they had there, or the fact that they were not able to weaponize it, which the Department of Defense has said over and over again, well, even if they had the sarin gas, they could not have weaponized it, and that's absolutely a falsity, because we now know they had rockets, they had nerve agent aerial bombs, they had Scud warheads that were loaded with this stuff, and yes, they did use it. 15,000 chemical alarms went off during the Gulf War. Well, these troops realized what had taken place. Of course, a lot of them didn't know there were chemical and biological agents being dispersed there, but they do start to get sick, they do start to have problems. In 1995, the Department of Defense starts hearing rumors that people are talking about what happened to Camisea. And at that point, Dr. Stephen Joseph goes to the microphone in a news conference and says, well, ladies and gentlemen, we found some forms that were sort of like back in the back of the file cabinet. I'll never forget him saying this, Dr. Stan, that show that there was an event at a place called Camisea. And we're checking into this, but there may have been some sarin gas exposed there. I'm just giving you kind of my idea of what took place in that news conference. And it started to come out. And one of the reasons is because Sergeant Dan Topolsky talked with us, gave us the after-action documents, and showed us what had taken place. Now, of course, these guys were being denied treatment, being told you're just delusional, you're thinking all this stuff happened. And Sergeant Topolsky gets a visit from the Pentagon then. So some people in suits appear at his door wanting the absolute original documents. We're here to help you. We want to get to the bottom of this. We need your original documents, to which he said, no, thank you. You're not taking these documents. You're even going to sign that I give you a copy of them, and which he did. Now, we have that information on a video. All of this that I'm telling you was on the video, Gulf War Illness, Fact or Fiction, and you can get this now. It is free to Gulf War veterans, but you can get this. And to Gulf War veterans, they need to write to us, and I'll give you the address in just a second. But you can purchase it by calling our order line at 877-817-9829.
I would say that I've seen that, and it's really one of the most powerful videos you'll ever see.
Well, I appreciate your saying that. It's not the most theatrically well done, I guarantee you, but it is information that is pretty startling. I've had people tell me that they just cannot, you know, I don't want the Gulf War veterans to watch it alone either. It's very difficult for them to watch and to hear this and to see this. But this is what took place at Camisea. Now we have some government hearings. All of a sudden, we get Representative Shays and Arlen Specter, who act the part of, wow, we're going to help these poor, sick veterans. And ladies and gentlemen, it was such a farce. It was a Senate hearing, Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, that was such a farce. Schwarzkopf and Powell testified. Neither one of them were sworn in before they testified. When they testified, Colin Powell, because we've got the testimony also on the video, said, well, you'll never see an incident where there was any of our servicemen that were unprotected during the Gulf War. Now, that's an absolute lie, because we've got the video right there, and we show it while he's giving his testimony. Then General Schwarzkopf absolutely contradicted himself, and at first said, we didn't know anything about Camisea. We had never heard of Camisea. Then later on in his testimony, he says, well, you know, there was a time when General Franks came to me about this large weapons depot, and that was called Camisea. And he said, and I told him, you can't retrograde it, then we just got to blow it anyway. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what happened. But he contradicted himself, lied about it at first, and then slipped later and talked about it.
Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Joyce Riley and talk about the first Gulf War and the young men who will never be the same because of that tragic incident all clouded in lies.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 and the went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are now covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR or The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Well, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there is no other book out there that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I just want to mention a couple of the products that are carried here at Radio Liberty. One of them, of course, is the Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any claims for them other than say they're excellent soap, but I will tell you that many of the people use them tell us some just amazing stories of really how much better they feel for one way reason or another. Maybe they just like the soap, but there's a soap, a moisturizing soap, a neutralizer, which is a very alkaline solution, and I know some people take it to help their heartburn, and really it will relieve many of their symptoms. And then, of course, there's a gel and a lotion. So if you'd like to know more about the products, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, if you'd like to purchase an introductory offer, call that same number, and you can get all five products at a special introductory price. That's 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, if you have children or grandchildren in a government school, you need to get a Phonopoly set for them. Phonopoly is a board game played like Monopoly that in about 16 hours will change how their mind works. And, of course, basically, you learn the 40 sounds of the English language, you learn the 12 rules of the English language, and you learn how to spell phonetically, how to pronounce words phonetically, but you learn how to read phonetically. One of the greatest gifts you can give to a child is the ability to read. It's actually 5 board games, 2 bonus games, and we throw in a couple of books. Most of these programs will cost $300, $400, $500, $600, $800. You get everything you need for $139.95, and I think you'll be pleased. $139.95 plus the shipping. Give us a call at 1-800-5-448-927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Phonopoly. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and you know, you have to really understand how some of our leaders feel about our brave fighting men who are willing to give their lives for freedom. You need to get the book, The Final Days. If you don't have the book, you can get it at the library. We can send you the pages. Henry Kissinger on the bottom of page 194. This is Henry Kissinger, who was selected by the president to lead the investigation of 9/11. And according to the book Woodward, written by Woodward and Bernstein, why Henry Kissinger and the president General Alexander Haig referred to our fighting men as stupid, dumb animals to be used for foreign policy. Stupid, dumb animals to use for foreign policy. Did you get the information I sent you for that?
Yes, I did. I was absolutely shocked. I am sickened by receiving it. I couldn't believe. I said, now maybe Dr. Stan isn't reading it correctly. That's exactly what it says.
I know, and of course, people don't understand who General Schwarzkopf really was. If you get Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, and Professor Quigley was Bill Clinton's mentor, and his book was actively suppressed. Somebody bought up the publisher and destroyed the plates to the first half of the book. But if you look up Schwarzkopf in the index, you'll find out that Captain or Colonel Schwarzkopf, he was actually a police officer, and he was the father of General Schwarzkopf, was a CIA agent or working with the CIA back in 1953 when the CIA toppled the premier, the elected premier of Iran, named Mossadegh, and brought the Shah of Iran to power. So, of course, this goes from generation to generation. We have the images created by the television, and we think we know who the good and bad guys are. But certainly, apparently, according to this book, why Colonel Schwarzkopf was working with the CIA, General Schwarzkopf, of course, a four-star army general, who lied before the Senate, before the investigating committees, knowing full well that they had poisoned hundreds of thousands of American soldiers, and nobody has ever been held responsible. And they've tried to convince everybody that these boys, of course, were psychiatric cases, knowing full well what had happened, but they didn't want the American people to know. After all, as Henry Kissinger said, stupid dumb animals to be used for foreign policy. Go ahead.
You know, through all of this, I have developed such a heart for the military person, and knowing what they're facing right now, I am so supportive. But yet, and I know they don't know what they're doing right now. And I was just, I just had a television reporter here from a local station who finally found out about us and now understands that there's a real Gulf War illness. And she said, you know, you're going to tell all these people this, and you're going to scare them to death with all these troops over there right now. What about these people at Fort Leonard Wood and all these families that are going to see this news story? And I said, you know what? They've just been given the best gift of all. They've been given the truth. They've been given information, and they can do something about it. They can tell the troops to document, document, document. They can tell them to get copies of everything that happens, write down everything that happens, and if they come back and start to get sick, their families are going to support them.
Now, what about the depleted uranium that was used? And, of course, are we still using those depleted uranium shells?
No doubt about it. In fact, we're using it even more so in the cruise missiles that are over there. And depleted uranium, to anyone who doesn't understand what it means, is that's the end of the weaponry. That's the hardened tip of the weapons that are utilized in the M1A1 main battle tank, the cruise missile, and the A-10. The M1A1 main battle tank has a 122-millimeter or 120-millimeter shell. The A-10 has a 30-millimeter shell. And this contaminant is called depleted uranium, but it's really not. It still has about 30% of the normal amount of U-235, which, as we know, is a dangerous radioisotope, and the half-life of it is 4 billion years.
But, of course, now many of the people will say, but you can handle these shells, and you're not going to be injured.
Absolutely.
But, of course, it's when they explode and the dust gets into your lungs and then into your body. This is where the problem comes from. What scientific evidence is there that there is a real problem from depleted uranium?
Well, there's scientific evidence going back to late 1940s that the DOD has possessed. And Dr. Doug Roeke has access to that information. And hopefully you'll be interviewing him. This guy is an incredible individual. And he made the DOD videotape on depleted uranium. And in essence, he basically was commissioned by the DOD. He was a major in the Army Reserves at the time, a physicist and an expert in depleted uranium. And he made the videotape to train people how to use depleted uranium. But after he made the tape, it showed that it was so dangerous, they didn't want to show it to the troops. So they did not show this DOD video to the military people, because it said you must have a respirator any time you are near the use of depleted uranium.
In other words, after it's been exploded.
Correct. And even some shells that you shoot for sporting or hunting might have DU in it also, and a lot of people are not aware of that. But in this instance, it's not really dangerous until after it is exploded. It goes through tank like butter. That's the purpose. It is an anti-tank weapon. And so when you shoot through those Iraqi tanks, what you have is this powder and dust all over the place. That particulate matter that is smaller than 0.5 microns goes into the lungs and unfortunately stays there over a lifetime, because the cilia of the lung, the cilia cannot bring it up. The hairs, and that normally we excrete things and get it out of our mouths and our lungs, it won't bring it up. So the respiratory system is damaged radiologically. You are poisoned. And you get over 200 times with just one particle of that radiation, you are then getting over 200 times the normal amount of safe radiation that a person should get here in a year's time. So what we're seeing is these troops who were maybe, I know one who's a really neat guy. He joined the military, lied about his age to get in when he was 17. He wanted to serve his country so badly. And he was in those tanks. He was in the Iraqi tanks. They went in there to look for survivors or POWs or whatever. They breathed in this dust. They then ended up having this horrific respiratory problem. They all came back, you know, after a period of time with respiratory problems, started developing kidney problems, and now he has the lungs. He was just told after having a, what do you call it when you do an endoscope?
Bronchoscopy?
Bronchoscopy, yes. Thank you. After doing a bronchoscopy, he called me and he said, Joyce, he said, I'm 27 years old, and they just told me, son, you got the lungs of an 80-year-old. And I said, well, what did they tell you, Doug, that they can do for you? And he said, absolutely nothing. He said, I'm going to die. And they just told me. And it breaks my heart, sir, to know how many are out there that don't know what happened to them. And they're wondering, and the doctors are telling them, well, it's the smoking. And they say, sir, I've never smoked before. Oh, yeah, you have. You've got damage to your lungs. You've smoked, obviously. You're just lying to us. No, sir, I don't smoke. Oh, it's secondhand smoke then. And then they say, no, sir, I don't. Well, here's your Prozac. Go on about your business. Come back and see us again, and we'll do some more tests later on.
Well, no, cause actually, I know that in Europe, many of the armed services over there were very concerned about the depleted uranium that was used in Bosnia and in Kosovo, because their troops had a higher incidence of leukemia, because, of course, it gets into the system, it goes to the bone, and, of course, then results in leukemia. And, of course, everything is being done to say, oh, no, the statistics show the incidence is no higher among veterans than, of course, than in people who are not veterans. What's the truth there? Have you looked into that?
What we have seen is, I'm talking about frank radiation poisoning coming out of the vets in Britain. You see, the United States is not testing our Gulf War veterans except for a few friendly fire incidents. They're testing, I believe, 79 of them. But and they're not doing the thorough evaluation that the UK is doing. And some of these people have gotten independent studies done showing that they have radiation in their bones, radiation or depleted uranium in their bones. Some even are showing non-depleted or weapons-grade uranium, and I don't know how they got that. However, we do know that there are a lot of people that have been diagnosed in the UK. The U.S. is refusing. If you are a person that was in an M1A1 main battle tank, which, by the way, is wrapped in depleted uranium, and as I understand, is pretty much protected. But still, if you are around DU all the time, if you are around those Iraqi tanks that had been hit and you were in and out of those tanks and you're asking for a DU workup, you won't get it. There's no such thing. It's not a problem. You know, you're delusional if you think you have something wrong with you. And guess what I just heard the other day, sir? This really upsets me. Is I got information from a Gulf War vet, and I have not confirmed this myself, but I got information from a Gulf War vet in Spokane that at the Spokane VA, they are not doing Gulf War veterans exams there any longer. There are 4,000 Gulf War veterans waiting to be examined, and they don't even have a doctor there to do it. And since they're Gulf War veterans, they have to have a quote-unquote special Gulf War doctor, which they never get, and they're not going to be seen for another 2 years. He's already been waiting for 5 years. And they're told it will be at least 2 years before you can get an appointment at the VA.
Now, my understanding is that the government, the federal government, has cut back dramatically on the funds for the veterans to fund many of the other programs, like the National, what is it, from the arts, you know, the
National Endowment of the Arts, yeah.
National Endowment for the Arts, and many of their so-called homosexual support organizations or AIDS. So they're cutting back on the veterans. Have you heard that?
Oh, absolutely. And the veterans are furious about this. We're hearing different numbers. I'm trying to get confirmation between 15 million to 79 million and possibly a few billion, we're hearing, have been cut back. But here's the interesting thing that most people are not aware of. It requires now service connection to get into the VA system. And what that means is you have 2 years after your service in the military to get what's called service connection. In other words, for somebody to say, yes, your illness or your injury happened as a result of your time in the military. And then they will grant you what's called service connection. You must have that by 2 years after getting out of the military. Well, depleted uranium poisoning isn't going to show up and be a real problem for maybe 5 years or 7 years. It may be immediately. It depends. So now, as of January 3rd of this year, Dr. Stan, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, Nobody can be seen at a VA hospital unless you are service-connected. Are you surprised at that?
Well, yes. Well, of course, that's never been the way it was. I mean, if you were a veteran, why, you could get medical care there if you couldn't afford it on your own. That was one of the benefits of risking your life for your country. But I guess they changed the rules.
They changed the rules, and you now have to pay. And if you make more than $27,000 as a couple, then you have to pay for your care at a VA. I mean, this is criminal what they're getting away with. And these Gulf War veterans are being kicked to the side of the curb like dead animals. They're now seeing their brothers and sisters in uniform breathing in that same dust they breathed in. And we do have a hope, though, sir. And that is the journalists that are over there now. I am just hoping and praying they did not sign some kind of statement saying they would never speak out about what happened over there, that the journalists are being exposed to this, including Dr. Sanjay Gupta of CNN, are being exposed to this very same thing. So it'll be interesting to see 5 or 7 years from now if the journalists start complaining of problems also.
Well, it's a tragic, tragic situation to have so many of the men. I mean, we have about 700,000 men who are over there, and over 200,000, some people say many more than that, of those veterans are ill today from one of a number of situations, and lumped together as a Gulf War illness, probably multiple causes for it. Depleted uranium, the mycoplasma infections, with 40% of them have from, I believe, experimental vaccines. Certainly somebody destroyed all the shot records so nobody knows what was given, and the government has lied about that aspect of it. And then, of course, the exposure to sarin gas, and heaven only knows what else they've done. In the way of social experiments, because, you see, they use our military many times for experiments, and if you doubt that, if you say that couldn't happen, we have something called the Rockefeller Committee Report. Joyce carries that. We carry that. And it's rather inexpensive. We actually checked with the printing office after it came out because it was such a shocking report, and they printed about 30 of them for the entire country, other than those that were given out to members of the committee that put out the report. We bought most of them, but of course we carry that. Joyce carries it. You need to read that about the experiments they've done on our boys for so many years. It's called the Rockefeller Committee Report, and they were horrified to realize how they've used our soldiers as human guinea pigs.
You know, the one reason that I would encourage somebody to get this from you is because it says in here, and everybody I show it to, including the media, I mean, are totally shocked. During the last 50 years, hundreds of thousands of our military have been experimented upon without their consent. It's right there in black and white. You don't even have to go any further past that. And it tells you exactly what went on. And what's interesting is when you order the report, look at the people that were there at that committee hearing at that time that know full well what we're talking about right now. Now, you know, the status of what happened during the Gulf War is, you know, I am saying to ladies, to people, they say, well, what if you could have your way with this? What if you could wake up tomorrow morning, what would you do about it? And I say, the first thing I would wake up tomorrow morning is have the Department of Defense say, okay, guys, we're going to admit everything. You know, it's not an issue of liability or an issue of fault at this point. I don't even care if they say fault. I just say that they start treating Gulf War veterans, do the right thing by them, compensate them, and let's move on. And then we need to have a reorganization of a Department of Defense that would even consider covering this up in the first place. Because we have got families that have been destroyed. I just got a letter from a vet. You know, his wife says, look, the DOD says you're not sick. Why don't you work? He says, look, you know I pass out every time I stand up. He said, I can't hold a job. I'm an engineer, but I keep passing out at work. They fire me. And he said, my whole life has been destroyed. I'm trying to save one vet's house right now. He is sick. His wife, who was Teacher of the Year, can't even function any longer. She's got the mycoplasma.
And, of course, you have to understand that many of the wives of the sick veterans are sick themselves. That's covered certainly in this Rockefeller report. And the fact you haven't heard that shows how effective the control is over what the American people think.
You know, the Department of Defense...
I'd just like to say one thing to our listeners. If they will experiment on the veterans, what makes you think they won't experiment on the American people? And if you read this book, you'll find they have been. And I think that they're doing that right today. Go ahead, Joyce.
The Department of Defense is doing major damage control right now. And I'll tell you what happened. I started talking to the press, the New York Times, a few other people contacted me. And I started talking in terms of the condition of the first Gulf War veterans. And some major, major overseas media like Der Spiegel. and Agents France and a few of those people. Well, the word has pretty much gotten out now that there's a problem with the first Gulf War veterans that the American public has not been told about, which I'll tell you right now, if it was truly understood about what happened to the first Gulf War veterans, we would not be having any second Gulf War. I can tell you right now, almost with certainty. Well, then the Department of Defense starts doing damage control again. And now they've started, sir, issuing new news releases about how, well, it's really stress. We found out now for sure it really is stress. So now they're doing this issue with the stress again, which is infuriating the Gulf War veterans. And a major piece was done in the New York Times by Gina Collada the other day, which really has upset a lot of people. And then I got a call from the Wall Street Journal the other day who said, well, tell me about the PTSD in your Gulf War veterans. And I said, well, I can't. And he said, why not? I said, well, because I've only talked to maybe 15,000 of them, but I don't see anybody that's got real PTSD.
Hey, we're going to have to let you go. But that's post-traumatic stress. Anyway, God bless you, Joyce. Thanks so much, and we'll get you on again real soon. Bye-bye.
One of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me just simply mention that we have a four-tape set on the Gulf War illness. Really important. If you really want to understand what really goes on behind the scenes, you ought to study the Bohemian Club, where the leaders of the both political parties, the presidents, the vice presidents, the secretaries of state accumulate for a week and a half of raucous activity on a yearly basis at a secret grove, Redwood Grove, up in Santa Rosa County, up around Santa Rosa. So the four tapes out on the Bohemian Grove will give you an idea of the occult forces working at the highest levels of our government, including Henry Kissinger, who thinks our military people are simply stupid, dumb animals. Page 194, The Final Days, Woodward and Bernstein. If you like those pages of the book, we'd be glad to supply them for you. You need to understand what we're dealing with. We're dealing with evil. Well, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And, of course, Brotherhood of Darkness, I think, is the best overall summary of what's going on today. And you can get it by itself for $12.95, or you can get it as part of the Brotherhood of Darkness special with the book, the video, and the audio tape for $29.95. And then let me suggest the four-tape set on the Skull and Bones, a secret fraternity, of course, with strong pagan overtones to it. And many believe it's actually a satanic society. You can certainly listen to the tapes of my interviews with people who've studied the Skull and Bones, people who've written about it extensively. We have several books on Skull and Bones, The American Establishment, The Secrets of the Tomb. We haven't even have the membership list, which come from the Skull and Bones, and nobody else has. All of these are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Get the facts and find out what's going on, so that you can help us as we try to reveal the forces working behind the scenes intent upon destroying America. Well, this is Dr. Stan Mack here again, and of course this is the time when I have to remind our listeners all across America that my programs are primarily listener-supported. And if you believe that there is a real problem, if you believe we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, cultural battlefield, why, we hope many of you will give us a call at 1-800-5-4-4-8-9-2-7. 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. For a suggested gift of at least $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do 5 hours every weekday and on 35 stations over the weekend as we reach out trying to bring you the information you're not going to get from ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, or Bill O'Reilly from Fox News. We're going to give you the truth, not the two sides of the issue that they are going to try to convince you you're going to get from other sources. And, of course, if you want the documentation for anything we say, well, you can always contact us and we'll get you the original documentation because I've been studying this for 40 years and we have the facts. Now, if you want to get a free copy of my March newsletter to understand the men who control the president, and I'm talking about Dick Cheney, I'm talking about Donald Rumsfeld, I'm talking about Paul Wolfowitz. I'm talking about an organization known as Project for the New American Century that planned the Iraq War starting in 1997 when they signed a statement of principles. 25 people signed a statement of principles. They were Republicans. 12 of them came from the Council on Foreign Relations, which is a front for a secret society created by Cecil Rhodes in 1891. The Project for the New American Century laid out a program for a new international order. That would, of course, assure our profit and our principles. And, of course, much of this is covered in their website. You can go there, www.newamericancentury.org. That's newamericancentury.org. Or all of this is covered in my latest newsletter, and we'd be glad to send you a free copy of the March newsletter. If you just call us at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and then please, don't believe a word you read. Check out the facts and find out if it's really true. You may very well, of course, we talked today about the Rockefeller Committee report published by the Veterans Administration back in 1994. Check out the facts. Get this information. And if it's true, then, of course, no man's freedom or future or family are safe, and you've got to become involved with us. And if you're one of these people who thinks nothing bad is ever going to happen to America, because God blesses America, you just haven't read the Bible and find out that whenever a country is turned against God, why, God is eventually turned against that country, and there can be no question at all that America is turned against God. So if you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. And, of course, you can pull down our newsletters. You can listen to our programs 5 hours every day through links that are there. And then, of course, please tell others about our website. Tell them about our programs. Check out the facts. You owe it to your family. You owe it to those who fought so bravely in the past. You owe it to those boys who are over there in Iraq today, risking their lives, believing they're fighting for freedom. And, of course, you need to understand the history of the wars of this past century. And, of course, you really need to get my material on my new video, Iraq, The Untold Story, Prelude to World War III. It'll be available by the first of next week. And, of course, you need to get our new syllabus entitled Iraq, The Untold Story. It's all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And pray for America. Pray for our leaders. Pray for revival. And please pray for Radio Liberty, my ministry, for our provision and protection. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
Hello. Oh, just one of those orders that came in, we just picked up. Was any good orders, Pat?
One for Finopoly, one for, I forget what the other one was. Oh, $20 from Jim White.